Those of you that have that come to this congregation know that I'm still getting used to these glasses. Some of you that have glasses, can you tell me, is there a button for a windshield wipers? I'm struggling this morning. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, my emotions are going 1,000 different directions. I've gotten to know Daniel and Amber over the past couple of years, and I really appreciate who you are. I've seen God make that call in your life. I've seen you give love. I've seen you give care. I've seen you give comfort over this past year. I've seen some of the things that we've struggled with and wrestled with as a congregation. And I watched the Jesus in Athens, just a small part of it. And what I was struck with, I'm honored to know you, that you've answered that call, because there's people that God has in place for you already, and he has a specific plan for their lives. So thank you for answering the call. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61. And if everybody could turn to it, this is where we're going to be spending the entire message until the conclusion. So you can open your Bibles to Isaiah 61. I want to read this passage. Says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise up former desolations, and they shall repair ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of your God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth and will make them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. And all who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden causes things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." Before I preach on this incredible passage of Scripture, would you just bow with me? Lord, I just pray that you would touch our hearts as we look at this chapter in Isaiah 61 and we see what it is to be a Christian in this passage. I just pray that you would just that something from this message would touch your hearts and spur us to action. I pray this in your name. Amen. As I was studying this passage of Scripture, I could not decide if my target audience was you, Daniel and Amber, or if it was, if this was a prophetic message for the people in Greece. I couldn't even decide if this was Jesus talking in here or if it was Isaiah talking. I didn't know if it was a message to our church because so much of it applies. So wherever it lands this morning, just receive it and hear what the Lord has to say from it this morning. So in verse 1, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." And here I didn't know if he was talking, if this was Isaiah talking, or was he actually saying the words of Jesus? Because if he's saying the words, if Jesus is actually saying these words through Isaiah, this verse is a pretty cool Trinity verse. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is on me," talking about Jesus. And I would contend that Isaiah was saying this, but we'll see in Luke 4, Jesus reads this exact passage, and he says, "I am that person. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." I believe that Isaiah was God's instrument at a time when the Israelites needed him the most. You see, Israel, right at this time, was returning to a land that had been totally destroyed. They were captives for many years. Let's just call them refugees, because that's what they were. They were coming back. They had nothing. Their neighbors were gone. I'm sure they've lost a lot of relatives. The land that they had worked, that their fathers had worked so hard on to produce and be fruitful, was war-torn and scarred. And they're coming back to nothing. And while they had this overwhelming feeling of happiness to be getting out of bondage, when they got back to the land, the hope sort of left them, because reality set in. They despaired over what they saw when they got back. So what does it look like for the Spirit of God to anoint his people, as it says in the end of verse 1? You know, in the Greek, and I find this fascinating, in the Greek, which where you're going, anointed one actually means Christ. Anointed means Christ. And I believe, like Isaiah, he was here at a specific time, a specific place for this people. I believe each one of us is here for a specific people. Maybe it's just one person, but you're here for a specific purpose. You're anointed. You're not the Christ, but you bring Christ through what you do. So, in the middle of verse 1, he gives a list of things that that the Christ does, or what it really truly means to be a Christian. Number 1, he binds the brokenhearted. Isaiah says, "He sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Sent is commissioned. That's what we're doing this morning. We're commissioning Daniel and Amber to be sent from our congregation to the, not just the people in Greece, but there's people, refugees coming from Iraq, Syria, all over the Middle East. And I found it interesting when I hear Syria and you know, John Sammer was here 2 weeks ago, and the brokenness of Syria, but yet his testimony very loud and clear. He said, I've been through hard things, but it's turning our nation to God. I was just challenged again as I heard it another time in the video. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Isaiah is speaking to some people who are about to see, I mean, their nation has been toppled. The temple destroyed. Everything they knew was gone. Would God be their helper in that day? Does he care about what I'm going through? The message of Isaiah is this. He will be there to bind up the wounds of your heart. He cares. He knows what you're going through. He will be there for you. And I know I'm not about to stand up here and say a bunch of cliches, because I know, actually I don't know, but I understand some of the pain that some of you are experiencing. I'm here to tell you, my God can bind up those wounds. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. On a spiritual level, this speaks of those who are broken over their sin. They're grieved over what they have done to God and against God. Can God even forgive me? Will he take me in when he knows what I've been doing, what I've been saying, what I've been thinking? You know, there's that brokenheartedness too, like feeling that you don't have a place to belong anymore. You're sort of a refugee from a relationship with God because you've run from God. Or maybe there's something that you just don't feel like you can get that relationship back. And you're a refugee and you're running from God. And you're ashamed of what you've done. God can bind your wounds and heal the brokenhearted. He says he will set the captives free. Isaiah says, he sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. This also has a spiritual meaning, for sure. As I looked at the video this morning, and as I saw some of the pictures that Eric and Kate sent, there's a square over there about two blocks from where Daniel and Amber are going to be having their bed and breakfast. That's not right. Let me back up. About two blocks for where Daniel and Amber's Airbnb is for the first month. How about that? There's a place, a square, and all over that square, there's little tents and sleeping bags. And that's where people are spending the nights. And it's not warm. And we're getting into winter, and it's cold. And you have this feeling of just hopelessness and loss. Can you imagine, like what they've been running from, is even more. It's worse than what they are experiencing now. I had a reality check this morning. I was sort of mad that the video didn't work this morning. Well, shame on me. That's a pretty small inconvenience. To what do you say, 1,500,000 people are experiencing? Can you imagine after the church on this Sunday morning, you don't have a place to go back to? Can you imagine as a dad wanting a better life for your family, and you get here and all that's here is a refugee camp? Can you imagine that? He will set the captives free. He will restore what has been taken away. He sent me to proclaim the year of the Lord. I don't get the year of Jubilee. Like, It's always messed me up when, like, you earn money for 50 years and then you got to give it all away. That sort of messes me up. Or you didn't do anything for 50 years, but now you got your farm back. But it sort of got a clearer picture of what that actually means spiritually. You know, for the past years that you've been in bondage, or you've had no hope, or you've sinned, and you come to Christ, and God says, I don't care what happened before. I'm giving you a life. I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you everything with that life. He will restore what has been taken away. Verse 3 says, to console those who mourn. There is enough in him that comforts those that mourn. In the Sermon on the Mount, he promises just that. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Not only does he comfort us, but he does abundantly more than we can ask or think. I was speaking with a father this week that lost his son. And that's the verse he quoted to me. My God is able to do abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So in this time of lament, in this time of grief, I find it fascinating that it's when people really start getting real with themselves and start thinking about who God is and how important that relationship is. In our lament is the times when he really meets us, because in our weakness, when we really feel weak, God is made strong. And Daniel and Amber, I just proclaim that on you guys. I know you're weak. But my God's a big God. And he's a strong God. And he will take care of people that you love here. And he'll care about those relationships. And he will put meaningful relationships in your life to give you strength. I really believe that. Take a look at what God can do with our grief. In the next verses, he says, I will give them beauty for ashes. And grief is not pleasant. If I wouldn't be preaching, I'd have some other words for it. It doesn't look pleasant. It doesn't feel pleasant. We don't lay in an ash heap here in America when we grieve. But those of us that have gone through grief can sort of imagine what an ash heap would feel like, because that's really what it does feel like. We feel like we're on an ash heap. But I've seen grief. I've seen people come through grief. And God takes away that filthy, dirty feeling. And he actually can make beauty. And I'm not just saying that. I've seen it. That person that went through it, every time they would say, I would never wish to go through this. But because of it, I've seen God's beauty in it. So he talks about the beauty for ashes. I'm in verse 3. He talks about the oil of joy for mourning. The oil of joy for mourning talks, or the oil of joy is simply, it's like something that makes you shine. And how do I say this? Makeup isn't my strong suit, so bear with me. But I would imagine Mary Kay has a moisturizer cream that makes your face shine or jumps. Or, oh, man. I knew this was going to be a problem. You know, grief can disfigure your face. And you, when people are mourning, it is so hard to watch. It is so hard because you can actually see the pain coming through their eyes and on their face. Grief disfigures the countenance. So this is really why I needed to put this illustration in here. But God becomes the makeup artist. And it's not just a superficial thing. He changes how you look because of his comfort, because of his care. He talks about the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I know this journey is not easy for you. And there's been a spirit of heaviness. Not only does he bring shine to your face, but I'm going to say he performs a total makeover. He gives you a new garment of praise, even in the midst of our heaviness. He trades in your sackcloth for Sunday best, which is praise to him. He goes on and he talks about planting trees, the trees of righteousness, the tree of righteousness. Daniel and Amber, as you're there, I will say this. I was on the mission field for 2 years. Your roots with God will go deeper than they've ever gone before. And they're pretty deep already. But you need to lean into him. You need to lean into God and dig those roots deep into what God has for you. And I have no doubt that you'll be a tree of righteousness. Maybe you don't want to be a tree of righteousness. That sounds too cliche. But you know what that means? A tree of righteousness, if you think about what a tree does, it can provide food, it can provide shade, it can provide shelter, it can provide rest. And I see those things for you guys. Plant those roots deep. So he also says in verse 4, he will rebuild the ruins. There's people in this room that their lives have been wrecked by grief. And as I looked at the film this morning, the refugees have no home. They have no business. They have no money. They need redemption. Do you remember my definition of redemption? It's just simply getting your life back. They need redemption physically, and they need it spiritually. My prayer is, Daniel and Amber, as you go, that you would help people be redeemed, get their life back. He will raise up the desolations. What a hopeless existence it is when you've lost a lot. Your job, our job, why am I talking to Daniel and Amber? Our job is to offer hope and to raise them out of desolation. Do you see what this passage is saying? It's saying, this is how you be a Christian. It's an incredible passage. So what does it look like when God becomes your makeup artist? And it's, the passage shifts a little bit in verse 5. He says, strangers will stand and feed your flocks. And what that means is, you know, all I've done, I can imagine a refugee saying this. Maybe they've been in Greece for a year, maybe 2 years, and they'll say, all I've done is just fight to exist. And now God's saying, wouldn't it be nice for a worker to come in and do some of that stuff for me? Wouldn't it be nice if I'd have a business and I could have an employee or two to do some of the work for me? Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? That's what he's saying here. Shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Verse 6, but you shall be named priests of the Lord. As I read Eric and Kate's emails about Bible studies going on and people coming to Christ already in 2.5 weeks, you're going to lead people to Christ. You're going to call them into the priesthood of Christ. He goes on, he says, you will eat the riches of the Gentiles. I don't know what the riches of the Gentiles is, but maybe it's just a cookie. Something we not had for a long time. Verse 7 says, instead of their shame, you shall have double honor. Can you imagine as a dad the shame it would be to not have a job? To think that you were leading your family to a better life and it didn't work out that way? It says, instead of their shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, do you think they have confusion? Oh, my word. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. I'm going to drop down to verse 10. He makes another shift here. And Isaiah starts praising God because he knows his God is able to do exactly what I just expounded on. Verse 10, he says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. And I had to think of this wedding illustration. He talks about the bridegroom and the bride. You know, when you're at a wedding, the bride and the bridegroom, they're the most beautiful people in the room, without a doubt. Why is that? I always wondered that. Because they've taken time, because they love each other and they care deeply about each other, and they're dressed in their finest. And there's just something about when a bride and a bridegroom are standing up in front of the church, everybody's snapping pictures, but it's a beautiful thing. And that's what God is offering. In the midst of this chaos, God's offering something much different than what they've experienced. In verse 11 it says, for as the earth brings forth its bud, and as a garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. I'm going to read it one more time for Daniel and Amber and for the rest of us. It says, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Daniel and Amber, I claim that promise for you guys, that God's righteousness and praise will spring up, just come out from the block that you live in and just keep spreading. That's my prayer for you guys. I'm going to close with a passage from Luke 4. It's words that you've heard already this morning, but I need you to know who this man is. You know, as I was studying for this, this is actually an Advent passage leading up to Christmas. Here's what Jesus had to say in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Wow. What a passage of scripture. If you're looking to become like Christ, to be a Christian, that's what it means, right? And I want you to meditate on this passage. I want you to bring hope to the brokenhearted. I want you to bring peace and comfort to the captives. I desire that for each one of you. And you know, as we commission Daniel and Amber, we're not just commissioning them to go. That's us. We're all in this together. And we want to be part of your mission to the people in Greece. Thank you, Daniel and Amber, for your willingness to serve and to be used by God. Keep working on those updates because we want to hear about it. All right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for who you are. Wow, what an understatement I just prayed. But I thank you for giving us hope and joy and peace and freedom. And I just pray that we would live like that to our fullest. Pray this in your name. Amen. So Daniel and Amber shared earlier about what God is calling them to. I'm going to call on Mike from DNI to come forward and just give a blessing to them as they go.
Good morning. Bring you greetings on behalf of Destinations International, known as DNI. Paul was once in Athens in Acts 17, 26 and 27. He tells us that God has anointed the time and place that all men dwell on the earth, that those that seek the Lord might find him. He proclaimed this when he was proclaiming the unknown God there in Athens. Today, in our world, God is moving the boundaries of people who are seeking him to Greece. We've seen that in that video this morning. And he is calling and moving the boundaries of some faithful witnesses that those who seek him may find him. And Daniel and Amber, on behalf of DNI, it's an honor to partner with you in fulfilling the calling God has placed on your lives. To the many refugees there in Athens, it has been a blessing to see your steadfast focus on your calling, even among insurmountable roadblocks, anyway, from our human perspective. We have seen God come through in these times in answer to our prayers. Commit these times of affirmation to your memories, because there will be times that those
affirmations are all that you have to hang on to, other than Christ. May God bless you richly as you commit your gifts and talents to our Lord's church in Athens. Daniel and Amber, you have been blessed wonderfully by having a congregation cheering you on. And to the church here at Life, may God bless you richly as you have affirmed the calling on Daniel and Amber's life and now sending them to Greece where God has called them. Continue to pray and care well for them. This commissioning service is not the end. It is the beginning of service. God is calling you as a congregation to serve as senders. May you find joy in being excellent senders, as it is not Daniel and Amber's work, but an extension of your work as a congregation, as partners with them and with D&I. Pray that the church in Athens would be established and grow in the grace of our Lord, and to become a faithful, reproducing Anabaptist church. God bless you all as you faithfully serve our risen Lord in the place that he has called you. God bless.
Thank you, Mike and Galen, for bringing a message. Just amazing how Daniel and Amber have walked through some hard times here recently. But I believe it's preparing them for the work of hard times in Greece. So Daniel and Amber, I ask you to come up. Also wanted to thank the team that got the video running. I know it's a first world problem, Galen, but they did come through. So thank you all who helped. So Daniel and Amber, I too want to bless you in going. And letting go is not easy of a young, energetic couple. And I just want to say that you showed us as a church how to care for hurting people. As we watched you in the loss of Ian, just you showed us how to care. I just want to bless you. Daniel and Amber, you have heard the call of the Lord and have accepted to bear the good news of the gospel in the land of Greece. Today in this service, we commission you to this work, dedicating you to the task, asking the Holy Spirit to empower you, commending you to God's grace and keeping. It is our desire to send you forth with our blessing as a representative from our congregation. We too share deeply in your call. In a relatively short time you've been with us, you've been an inspiration to our congregation, and especially the young marriage class, who will feel the whole deeply. We send you forth with our blessing. I encourage you in this service to be faithful to your calling and to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be patient in weariness, in your daily toil, and possible misunderstandings. Be diligent and obedient to the tasks to which you are assigned. Preach the word diligently, and to all who come under your care, witness faithfully as you have opportunity. Because of you, we have a tangible, real connection in Greece, an interest in your work. We promise our love, our prayers, and our support. So Daniel and Amber, do you take this assignment as an opportunity to serve the Lord and your fellow man, pledging yourself to perform with diligence the task that has been given you?
I do.
Will you at all times seek to be faithful to the Lord and to your church, endeavoring by both word and deed to give faithful witness of the gospel?
I will.
She does mean it. To the congregation, do send forth Daniel and Amber with your blessing and promise to partner with them in this service with your love and prayers. And can you affirm that by standing. So in those times of aloneness, and remember this picture of the body standing, holding up your arms. Thank you. You may be seated.